Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back to hour number three of The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970. I am Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson, and we are The Drive here on the Steelers Nation Radio, coming to you live from Steelers training camp here at St. Vincent College. And Matt, the Steelers...
The walkthrough is coming to an end here, yeah, just in case people are interested.
Well, they usually, like, the way they do walkthroughs is like...
Describe a walkthrough.
A lot of the starters are down there. Everybody's down there to start these things. And then they kind of break things off once they go through the offensive linemen and the defensive linemen.
Well, I assume that's special teams going
on.
Yeah,
then they have a little special teams walkthrough. So all the linemen can leave.
Yeah.
That's how that goes.
And I'm sure the quarterback's left too. And, you know, just a super quick rundown of the walkthrough situations. There's two fields. One of them's got all orange, gold jerseys. One of them's all white, offense, defense. They don't walk through against each other. You don't want the defense to give you the look. You have an offensive scout team do it for you.
Yeah.
The opponent isn't real, you know, important.
Yeah. You're just walking through plays.
Yeah, you're walking through plays. It's halfway through what they do in the classroom on the board versus what you do on the field at full speed. If you could combine those two, that's a walkthrough.
That is a walkthrough.
Yeah.
Matt, Willie McGinnis on NFL.com has ranked his top 10 edge rushers in the league.
He's a former edge rusher.
He knows a little bit about it.
Yeah, he's done quite well on that. Yes.
So
what's he have to say?
Yeah, Mr. TJ Watt should be high on this list. He has had four seasons in a row of at least 13 sacks.
Wow.
That's Reggie White type stuff. That's the only other guy who's done that is Reggie White.
It's pretty amazing. And you know, we were talking bets and props and things like that before. You've brought this up a couple times. His over-under is 13.75.
Right. So he has to get to 14.
He has to get to 14 for you to win your bet, which he's done 4 out of 5 years, and the other one was one sack below that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one too. I'm going over.
So his number 10 is Shaq Barrett with the Buccaneers.
Okay. I mean, I guess we'll hear the other names, or is there a just missed list or any of that stuff?
I don't know. I haven't gotten to the bottom of the story here. I'm going 10 to – he went to 10.
Oh,
as
he
we
went
would
10
do this,
to 1.
He went 10 to 1, so we'll find out.
But I think he's in that neighborhood. He's been really productive for the Bucs. Really blew up. It was a great signing for them.
Yeah.
I mean, he was behind Von Miller and Chubb and was good as a third guy.
Yeah, really liked him a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Undrafted guy in 2015.
Yeah, kind of a self-made dude.
Yeah.
Right.
At number 9 is Max Crosby.
It's a little low for him.
Well, I mean, you know, if you're looking at sacks, that's the one thing that was missing there. He didn't get guys – he had a lot of pressures, which usually translates to sacks.
Yeah. If I were campaigning for Mr. Crosby, I would say the Raiders blitzed way less than any team in the league. So he's getting doubled probably as much as anyone, as much as Watt or
whoever.
Well,
they had Ngakoue on the other side of him. They only had 35 sacks as a team.
I know they were low, right. And he had 8. I mean, he was definitely their best player on defense.
Yeah, I mean, they gave him
Money.
Yeah, 4-year extension worth almost $100 million. So
much better athlete than people realize, too. Like, go Google Max Crosby's combine numbers. You'll be shocked.
Number 8, Trey Hendrickson.
I think that's proper for him. I've seen him like 5, 6.
Yeah.
And I respect the production. I don't know that people fear him, though.
He's got 27 and a half sacks over the last two years.
Yeah. It's great. I mean, that's undeniable. It's fantastic. Home run for Cincy. I just don't watch his tape and think, whoa, you know, not a lot of wow moments.
Number seven, Von Miller. Is he still that guy?
Yes. I don't know if the Bills will regret giving him the contract they did at his age.
A 6-year, $120 million deal.
But they must not have been the only ones offering him big money.
Yeah.
So I think the league tells us he is still a stud. He was great down the stretch for the Rams. All-time great might be a stretch when describing Von Miller, but if it is, it's not too far off.
Yeah, he's, I mean, another
pretty special.
Another good season here, and he's, you know,
I mean, he potentially could be a three-time Super Bowl winner.
He's got a couple of Super Bowls already, yeah.
I mean, he's an easy Hall of Famer that's far from done.
Yeah.
That just got huge money.
Number six. This one I kind of have a little bit of an issue with. Khalil Mack.
The numbers aren't great lately.
The last three seasons, he's been under 10 sacks.
Yeah. It's interesting.
I don't know if he's still that guy.
I don't think he is either. The Bears had an abnormal number of sacks last year, and it wasn't because of him necessarily. It wasn't – I mean,
he didn't help.
Yeah, of course. I mean, they don't get him there without him, but it wasn't like he was a Bosa or, you know, Watt or one of these guys just racking him up. You know, he was part of many contributing. And unlike Von Miller, it wasn't crazy expensive to get him.
Yeah.
You know. If the Bears could trade him for more to another team, they would have.
Number five, Nick Bosa.
That's too low. I'm infatuated with this guy. I think he's unbelievably special. If you told me one guy in the league was going to be right there with Garrett or Watt or better, I would pick him.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty good. Now, you know, the question for them becomes, you know, can he get, like, the way that they play and run the ball so much.
They're also a low-percentage blitz team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that kind of hurts him a little bit.
So how about this? I was just digging up goofy stats about different teams. I actually did it for Steelers.com. You can find it on the NFC West preview I did a while back. Besides the Trey Lance pick, I think 8 years in a row, their first selection was a defensive lineman.
Yeah.
I mean, they really stress it. I forget the name of their D-line coach, but he is revered that he gets the most out of those guys. He hasn't
yet. I would hope so.
If you give him a first-round pick, right. And this year, they didn't have a first-round pick, but it was Drake Jackson, you know, their first pick. But, I mean, we're talking about Armstead and Buckner, Kinlaw, Bosa, you know.
But a lot of those guys are top five picks.
Like, right.
I don't have to be a genius to make those guys look good.
No. Whatever his name is, people love him, that he's a great up-and-coming position coach.
That's all well and good, but if you give me, you know,
if you give me the first pick in the draft,
you give me filet mignon, I'm going to make a pretty good meal.
Exactly.
You give me chopped liver, it's not going to be a very good meal.
Yeah, especially that position. Talent's so important there. But it's interesting to me that the Niners stress their D-line as much as they do.
Yeah. Number four, Chandler Jones.
I don't know.
To rank ahead of Bosa?
I mean, this is not the same conversation. I can't put him with Bosa, but this is not the same conversation. But of edge guys of this generation, I think he's the most underrated. I think he's had a borderline Hall of Fame career already.
He's got 107.5 sacks in 10 years.
Yeah. I mean,
that's pretty good.
And that's after missing a lot last year.
Yeah.
It's consistent. He's long. He's strong. I think if you asked Belichick, he'd be like, I screwed up trading that one. Yeah,
but he had some off-the-field stuff that was just – there was some
– and they didn't want to pay him.
Then he showed up outside a police department and up there, and he was naked in the parking lot or something.
Didn't he have some kind of, like, synthetic marijuana?
There was something, yeah. That
was, went hand-in-hand with the nakedness or whatever. I think that's what went on, yeah. But he'd get after the quarterback.
Yeah, right. Number three. Another guy that's on a Hall of Fame type career, Cam Jordan.
So that means Joey's not in the top 10.
Means Joey's not in the top 10, yeah. And we're not talking about friends.
Right. Cam Jordan to me kind of reminds me of Cam Hayward.
Yeah.
Like, in that if he was here, everyone out here would love him and adore him. And he's had a somewhat quiet career by, you know, all the hoopla that surrounds him. But he's been awesome every year. He's going to be a Saints legend. He's easily going to be a Ring of Honor type guy or whatever they do for that, their version of the Hall of Honor. If he doesn't make the Hall of Hall of Fame, which he probably won't because his resume at the end won't be as good as he is as a player. But he's still really good.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'd put Joey Bosa over a lot of these names, but okay.
Number two, Myles Garrett.
And we know who won, as I assume.
Yeah.
But he didn't leave TJ off, did he?
He did not.
For Joey.
No, he did not.
I think you have to have Watt over Garrett. Right now.
The production is just...
They're not close.
We did this a couple weeks, about a month and a half ago, mm-hmm. or whatever, the Hall of Fame monitor. T.J. Watt's Hall of Fame monitor. And remember, they came into the league the same year.
Right.
In the
same
draft.
Class, both first-round picks, one much earlier than the other.
Watt has, I think it's 25 or 30 more sacks than Garrett.
Yeah, I'm trying to do a quick search of sacks per game, but they're not even close. I mean, in terms... Watt is way higher than Garrett.
Watt is like at an all-time pace.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Again, up there with Reggie White in up terms there. Of that stuff.
Yeah, I'm trying to look here. Well, I'm not really finding it very easily. But Miles Garrett averages 0.83 sacks per game, which is great. I mean,
that is
also a Hall of Fame type pace. Give me 2 seconds, and I'll find out T.J. Watts.
All right. Well, while you do that, I'm going to say that he has the third most sacks in his first 5 seasons in NFL history with 72, trailing only his brother, J.J., who had 74.5, and Reggie White, who had 81.
That's remarkable.
I mean, and people should also remember, Reggie White had a couple of years in the USFL before he came to the NFL, so he was more of a finished product when he came to the NFL. Like, he was already like, okay, you get that rookie season out of the way. Like, you take Watt's rookie year out of the equation.
I'm not finding it anyway.
And since his rookie year, I mean, he's far and away the best pass rusher
far and away.
He's had at least 13 sacks in each of the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he has missed time. If you want to hold that against him, fine. That's why I was looking up sacks per
game. So is Garrett.
Yeah. And he also got suspended, you know. But I think those two stand alone. I think Nick is very close and hasn't had the body of work quite yet, and he missed a whole season, which hurts his cause, big picture. But no one's better than TJ.
No. There were people before the Steelers signed him to his contract last year.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't pay him. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I mean,
really?
He's maybe the best defensive player in the league. That's who you pay.
Right.
And
I mean, he and Aaron Donald are the two most disruptive defensive players in the league right mm-hmm. now.
The other thing about Watt, too, he's gotten really good at taking the ball away, swatting down passes. He can cover.
He just affects games in so many ways.
So many ways. A high-quality run defender. Not that some of these guys can't do those things, but it's not just sacks with him either.
No, he's a complete player.
He's a complete player.
Yeah.
And a leader. He's tough. You know, he's the kind of guy you want in the locker room. You know, positive impact
on those around him. I don't know that T.J. Watt at this point has reached his peak as a player.
Well, last year was his best year. We agree on that.
Every
right?
year has been his best. Each year,
the year before that was his best year.
He's continued stacking
that.
We haven't seen any kind of decline.
No, we've seen ascension.
Yeah.
I mean, year after year.
Now, at some point, that's going to happen. That's only natural. But he did what he did last year in 15 games.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to predict that he's going to keep that pace up. I mean, but I bet it's not far off.
Right.
And it could be better.
Right.
Like Chandler Jones has hit his peak. Von Miller's hit his peak. Khalil Mack's hit his peak. Those names we listed, Cam Jordan, probably Cam Hayward, you know, like they probably won't be ascending. Garrett could be, you know.
He could be, but again, you're talking about the same age mm-hmm. as
right.
Watt.
Right.
You know, they came, again, that 2017 draft, you know, right now has produced the two best pass rushers in the league.
Mm-hmm. Easily. I mean, Donald is a better player than them, and he's a great interior pass rusher, but I don't think he's a better pass rusher than Garrett or Watt.
Yeah, he doesn't list who just missed, but Joey Bosa had.
He's the name that I don't quite understand for not being on there. I don't get that one at all. Yeah, I don't get that one at all. I'm trying to scan the league of who else I'd even consider in that neighborhood. I always go division by division in my head, and there's nobody in the North. There's nobody in the East that's jumping out at me as, you know, the next one. Rashawn Gary could be in that conversation. Another big year.
Yeah. Chase Young would have been there, but he can't stay healthy.
Yeah, good one. Daniel Hunter, or is his best days behind him?
The people in Dallas might have an argument.
If you're going to call Parsons.
I mean, you have to call him an edge, right?
That's not what he asked. I mean, I think he said, who are the best pass rushers?
Yeah.
And Parsons is one of the best.
He said the best edge rushers.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. So I guess if you didn't count him, I would understand it. Yeah. I mean, it's a good group. I mean, who are the top young guys that are coming and breaking in on that? I don't know if like a Quiddy Pay or Aiden Hutchinson.
I don't know if those guys are going to.
I don't think the rookies are going to be.
Yeah, Walker or any of those
near
guys.
The top of those lists next year. That would surprise me. And even last year's crop of like Pay and those guys are fine, but they're not. I don't think they're ready to light the world on fire.
It's pretty, when you're Cleveland and you've got Myles Garrett and you still don't have the best pass rusher in your division.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good company, yeah. No doubt about that.
So I'm looking here at another thing here. And they get their news and notes on NFL.com. Training camp buzz. Mitch Trubisky pulling ahead in Steelers quarterback competition.
You're late to the party, folks.
Yeah, I mean, come on, people.
It wasn't a race, for one thing. Yeah. So you had nothing to pull ahead. He started ahead.
and he stayed ahead.
And he stayed ahead, and he's going to be the top guy. I mean, these are done deals. You know, like it does surprise me a little bit in today's NFL. This feels like a story from like 1985 when we didn't have the internet, and you'd have to like read the papers and read a quote here and there. Like, why doesn't the world know that Mitch Trubisky is the starting quarterback now?
I don't know.
It's not even mind-boggling.
Not even a question here.
Right. I keep getting asked that when I go in different formats. Like, this is.
It's a done deal.
Right.
Yeah. Marcus Mariota, according to NFL.com, growing comfortable behind the Falcons' offensive line. You better not get too comfortable.
No. You better hope you have some wheels and get ready to run. Unlike the Steelers, like their O-line is littered with early picks.
They're bad.
Just as bad, if not worse. And I think an athlete in that position is going to be really important. And both those guys can move, him and Ritter.
Yeah, I agree.
Ritter's a lot like Mariota physically.
Yeah. Just looking here, anything else that sticks out? Nothing really.
That Jakeem Grant is out for the year.
Yeah, that's
Mekhi Becton looks like he's out for the year. Broke his kneecap.
Yeah.
Which can't be good when you're
360.
That's got
to hurt. Yeah. That's got to hurt.
There's been no good news on Becton now for like a year or two with injuries, move from left to right tackle, some overweight stuff. I'm not indicating that because he was overweight a month ago or early in camp that led to injury, but sometimes that stuff happens.
Yeah.
And they were actually interviewing Salah today, the Jets coach, or maybe it was yesterday, and he kind of unprovoked said, that doesn't mean that's the end of Becton's career or his story's over. Like, it's funny you bring that up for a third-year guy that was a super super prospect.
A top 10 pick,
right, and was great in his rookie year and was looked like your future left tackle, and now you're answering – you know, is his time here done? Is his career over?
That's what happens in New York.
Yeah.
It's over in a New York minute.
New York minute, right.
You know, Eric Mangini goes from man genius to get him the hell out of here.
Yeah, hate this guy.
He's showing up on The Sopranos and stuff, and the next thing you know is he's fired.
It could be Zach Wilson next.
Could be him next.
Which means Salah would go with him.
Same thing with Danny Dimes and all that stuff. Yeah, they can't wait to get rid of him
I've heard more and more buzz.
The butt fumble guy.
Sanchez.
Sanchez. Franchise.
Yeah.
Now he's gone.
I keep hearing more and more rumblings that Jimmy to the Giants is a possibility.
That would make some sense.
I guess it makes some sense. Yeah. I mean, if you're not going to bring Jones back, you could sign Jimmy to a 2-year deal, still draft one. They have Taylor, I think, but so what?
Yeah.
You know, it's not an obstacle.
Yeah. Well, it looks like the walkthrough is over here at St. Vincent College.
Half hour, 45 minutes, something like that, maybe?
Something like that. Yeah, going out there and walking through stuff. We're walking you through the 3 hours here in the afternoon. We'll be walking you through all the way till 5 o'clock, but we're going to take another break. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back to St. Vincent College here in beautiful Latrobe, Pennsylvania. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. You're listening to The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970. And Matt, I was digging into some numbers here on the Steelers' new additions in the secondary.
Okay.
And I came across, it seems to me that they went looking for guys who are sure tacklers.
Yes. Yes, I agree with that.
When you look at Levi Wallace and Demonte KZ, Wallace had a missed tackle rate of 10.8% last year, which a lot of fans may say, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not.
No, it's not.
That was actually up from 5.3% in 2020. So he's been pretty good at getting guys on the ground in his career. KZ was at 10.3%
last year. Real quick on Wallace, the Bills live in nickel. And if you're going to do that, your secondary
cornerbacks better be able to tackle.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be – if you're going to be a nickel basically no matter what, and a team's going to come out in 21, 12, heavier personnel, your defensive backs have to tackle bigger people.
Yeah.
And you can't pull that off without it. And I know this seems kind of crazy because of his build. He's very lean. But there were a lot of people who thought he might be a safety coming out of Bama because he wasn't a great tester, but he's a good football player. I mean, he's not bashful.
He's great above the neck.
Right.
I bring that up because, you know, those two guys at 10.8 and 10.3%, Akello Weatherspoon's missed tackle rate last year was 28.6%.
He's lacking in that department,
Joe Hayden was at 17.4%, and Cam Sutton was at 16.1%.
Okay. Not good enough from the group last year.
If you look at the explosive runs that the Steelers gave up last year, there were 75 of them. Now, the NFL considers an explosive run anything of 10 or more yards.
Okay.
75 led the league.
Yeah, way too many.
That's how you finish dead last in rush defense. And you give up that many explosive runs when your second guys in the secondary are missing tackles.
Yep. And the Steelers were also very high in their percentage of dime usage. So there were six defensive backs on the field a lot. You need to be great tacklers if that's the case, even if you're facing three, four wide receiver sets, because those guys are good after the catch too. It's not just running backs in terms of tackling, but I know your explosive run thing is handoffs, you know.
Yeah.
And I can't 100% blame, well, the front seven was getting blown off the ball and the holes were so huge.
It's not just that.
I mean, it's contributed.
There's more to run defense, though, than what happens up front.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if a guy gets a 6 or 7 yard run, but your cornerback comes up and takes him out, gets him on the ground, okay.
That happens. Fight and live another day. Yeah. It's second and four.
He misses that tackle, though, and now that 7 yard gain turns into a 15 yard gain.
It's an explosive all of a sudden. And I'm not sure we can say this enough, but the league is all about explosive plays.
Yeah.
You know, preventing explosive plays, creating explosive plays. Steelers offense didn't have nearly enough of them. Steelers defense against the run allowed far too many.
Because the pass defense wasn't bad.
No.
They gave up 215 yards a game last year. That's one of the better efforts in the league.
100%. You know, I mean, that you'll take that, and that could even improve. But I do think that tackling was one of the components that just allowed too many explosives. And I don't know that Weatherspoon will ever get better at it. Hayden's been a good tackler. I haven't studied the numbers, but I think age probably factored into inability to get yourself in the position.
Yeah, because he was always a guy that stuck his nose in there and
put
guys on the ground. And Cam Sutton probably missed a couple more tackles last year than he typically had, because he'd usually been pretty good at that as well.
And I'm curious, you know.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't Nick.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If he's going to be operating out of the slot a higher percentage of the time, how much are they going to stress that? Because it's going to be more important there. You're closer to the ball. You're closer to the line of scrimmage. Side note, I heard this on the way here, that of all the safeties in the league, Edmonds lined up in the slot more than any other. I didn't know that. I consider him a good tackler. You know, I don't know if that'll keep up, though.
His missed tackle percentage was 10.1% last year.
Around 10's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Minka Fitzpatrick was 9.5%. Arthur Millett, 2.1%.
Wow. And you said he was shining at drills.
Yeah, he missed one tackle last year.
Makes you wonder. I mean, I'm not projecting Millett to play a lot of snaps, but he's really reliable.
Yeah. If you're in first and 10 in the nickel,
yeah,
you're going to have Millett out there because he's a good run defender.
And maybe Weatherspoon or Wallace is on the bench.
Yeah.
I mean, probably is. So maybe Millett's a bigger factor than we realize. I mean, he's only a slot, but he's
now if it's
good
third and
at
eight,
it.
That's different.
That's different, yeah. Right? I think Sutton's then in the slot. Another defensive back trend is they have a lot of versatility. I mean, if Edmonds is the closest thing to a linebacker, going all the way down to Millett, who's the little nickel, and they have everything in between, including two outside corners, some safety corner versatility in KZ and Norwood, true free in Minka, like. Not a lot of those skill sets are repetitive amongst their defensive backs.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, projecting who the slot is, who the nickelback is, might be a little more different week to week, or to your point,
opponent
down
to opponent.
And distance
yeah.
situation. You know, we need the tackler. This time we need the cover guy. This one we need the size versus, you know, the Browns or Ravens. You know, Bengals we need speed or versatility or, you know. So they do have a lot of options with their secondary.
Absolutely. So I think that's interesting, and it's certainly something I think that they looked at in free agency this year.
I don't think it's an accident.
No, I don't think it is either, that they wanted to get better mm-hmm. on the back end getting guys on the ground.
These are the kind of things I love about what we do for a living is little nuggets like, boy, I didn't think Juju was a great signing for the Chiefs, but then you put two and two together that they faced more zone than anyone in the league, and he's best versus zone. Or, you know, it's not an accident the Steelers signed or went out and got Trubisky and Pickett. Well, they have a couple things that are really in common. They're both great after play action before they ever got here. They're both very good throwing on the run. This is what front offices do, folks.
Yeah.
You know, they look at their how they play, how they have to play, what sort of players fit the mold.
Absolutely. As you often say, teams tell you what they think by the moves they make or what their plans are by the moves that they make.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes a lot of digging to figure it out,
yeah.
You know, but there's a logic behind it.
Yeah, it definitely makes some sense. I think they feel like Akello Weatherspoon is their best cover corner.
They must, and he's a playmaker.
Yeah, even like today during practice, when they were doing one-on-one passing drills
mm-hmm.
You know, with the receivers against the cornerback singled up, they made sure that Weatherspoon was matched up against Pickens.
Really?
And Tomlin kept calling for that matchup, you know.
People know this, but they're much more a left-right corner situation as opposed to you follow the guy around. But I think Weatherspoon is their best take-the-ball-away corner. If you had to say one guy on the team has to follow Jamar Chase or Bateman or Cooper.
He might be that guy. Yeah.
I think he would be the one you pick.
Because he's got the size. He's 6'2".
Mm-hmm.
He's got speed.
Mm-hmm. Length, obviously.
You know,
gets
the length and ability to play the ball.
Mm-hmm. And he showed a penchant for getting his hands on the football, whether breakups or, you know, picks, which is great. So, okay, he's, you know, there's a spectrum with all these defensive backs. We just talked about their versatility on the field. Well, he's our worst tackler, but he's our best playmaker, so we'll use him in this manner. And I mentioned Chase. Maybe Chase is a bad example for him because he's so good after the catch. If Spoon misses a tackle on Chase, we can't have that.
Yeah.
Maybe we want Sutton or Wallace. You know, give him a big cushion, come up and tackle Chase time and time again. No explosives.
Don't let him get over the top.
Yeah, no explosives from Jamar. You know, okay, we can live with that. He's going to get his no matter what.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the logic week to week.
But I think that, like, for example, Dick LeBeau would have loved Levi Wallace.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of off coverage, come up, smack people around, physical, smart, you know, aided by a good pass rush.
Yeah. Don't get beat over the top.
Don't get beat over the top. No explosives. Yep. Yeah, I think he'd be a big LeBeau guy.
Yeah. Whereas I don't think Weatherspoon would have.
No, probably not. Probably not.
But it just shows you what the balance that they're trying to find there in that secondary.
Where did I read today? Someone from the Steelers organization said Sutton was like the smartest defensive back that they've ever been around.
Mike Tomlin talked about
that.
Yeah, yeah, like when they took when he and Kevin Colbert went and had dinner
with Sutton.
With Sutton, you know, the night before the Tennessee Pro Day, and they put him on the whiteboard, and he's drawing up the all 22 and could tell you what everybody on the field's job was.
Yeah,
as a college player,
and he's not a quarterback. He's not a quarterback. I remember reading draft reports of Sutton saying a lot of the same stuff. Team captain, aligns everybody up. He can play on all phases of special teams, including punt returns. He can play some corner. He can play some safety. Senior Bowl, he played some free. You know, that's not what he does best, but, hey, I can do it. You know? And so that kind of stuff is really valuable, too.
Yeah, he's very, very much like William Gay or someone like that. Like, yeah. You look at him, okay, they're not the best athlete.
Deshae, maybe.
Yeah, and Deshae is the same mold, but they're smart, above-the-neck players that, you can play a long time doing that. Joe Hayden had the best of both of that, where he had the athletic traits, but he was also good above the neck.
Yeah, I mean, Sutton's not 6'1", and doesn't run a 4.3, doesn't look like Sauce Gardner, you know, but you can play in a long time in the league, not making mistakes, knowing where people are at, no false steps, you know, understanding route concepts
and all
that stuff.
Don't blow your coverages.
Right, don't allow explosives, you know.
Absolutely. Matt, we're going to take another break because I want some extra time in this final segment of the show today because we're going to do a little fantasy football focus.
Ah, okay.
But we'll be back with more. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. We are live from St. Vincent College here on The Drive. We're live on ESPN 970 and Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with that fantasy football focus right after this.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. This is The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970. And the Steelers have wrapped up their practices and walkthroughs for the day. Getting ready for their preseason opener on Saturday at Acrisure Stadium against the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
That's a nice little preseason trip there for the Seahawks.
Really not real convenient.
Yeah, not super convenient. Matt, I thought we'd do a little fantasy football focus here to close out today's show. And, we haven't done a mock draft yet this year.
I'm in. Let's roll.
It is that time. We're in August.
Yeah, right.
This is starting to happen here. So I am on Draft Wizards on Fantasy Pros.
Okay.
And we're going to go 12 teams, PPR.
Yep.
Single season. We're going to snake it.
Number do we get?
We're going to randomize this here.
Fine.
And we're picking, and we got number 6.
Okay.
We're drafting one receiver, two running backs. These are the starters. One receiver, two running backs, two wide receivers, a tight end, a flex, which is a wide receiver, tight end, or running back, defense, a kicker, and 6 bench players.
Okie doke. Pretty standard then.
You said
PPR.
So yeah, PPR. We're going to start the draft here, and the picks are going off the board, and we are up. The first 6 picks in this draft, Jonathan Taylor,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Christian McCaffrey, Austin Ekeler, Cooper Kupp, Jamar Chase, as we always like to give you the names of the teams in the league here as well.
That's always
fun.
Funny ones, right?
So we get Orange Sherbert, Worth Every Penny as the second pick.
Rashad Penny. Yeah.
Pits of Despair.
Kyle.
There you go. Chark Week. Again. Pump the Drakes.
No-brainer.
Pump the Drakes is a new one.
Yeah.
Like
clever,
that.
Clever.
Our team, Jurassic Chark, is the picking 7.
You can't use Chark twice in the same draft.
Yeah,
but
I know.
Okay.
Waddle. Has the 8th pick. Livin' La Visca Loca is the number 9. Shaken Bakers is number 10.
Okay.
Lambs and Shepherds, 11th. And then Hey Darnold, number 12. So two Carolina quarterbacks in this one. So our pick is up here.
I think we're in a tough spot, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Dalvin Cook is what they're suggesting here is the top suggested player.
Yes.
I like that. Derrick Henry. Najee Harris still available,
yep.
As is Justin Jefferson. I mean, I don't think we take Derrick Henry here. I think we can.
Henry's low on my list. I don't have my list in front of me, but I have been updating it almost daily. Henry's like my 9th or 10th back.
Yeah.
And I think Cook and Najee are my 4 and 5 off the top of my head.
Yeah.
And the 3 gone are the top 3. Jefferson stands out, though, because a lot of people have either Jefferson or Kupp as
tackle
one.
Tackle
by Jefferson. And Chase is a clear 3. I just have a problem taking a receiver at 6.
Yeah.
I think you got
over
back.
2 backs that are going to catch the football.
And high-quality players, good offense. Yeah, reasonably good offenses. High-touch dudes. I prefer Cook, but either one is absolutely fine with me.
I don't have a problem taking Cook there. I think he's going to – Like Najee Harris there, you know what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
Cook has the higher upside, though, I think.
And more pedigree. And, yeah. You know, right. No, all right, cool,
so we're taking Dalvin Cook. And Najee Harris went with the next pick, so not surprising. We're rolling around here to our pick in round two. Oh, the top player suggested for us here, Aaron Jones.
Ooh, I have him ahead of Henry, to be honest with you. He's like my
the picks right back. After us, our pick were Harris, DeAndre Swift, Jamar Jefferson, or Justin Jefferson, I should say. Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon, Devontae Adams, Stephon Diggs. How about that? Hey, Darnold goes at Adams and Diggs.
Wow.
Okay. Travis Kelce, pick 2-2. Shaken Bakers take Nick Chubb, Saquon Barkley, Alvin Kamara, Mark Andrews, and then our pick is up. So Aaron Jones is there.
I'd run to the podium.
CeeDee Lamb is there. Tyreek Hill is there. I'm taking Aaron Jones all day long.
Yeah. He's a touchdown producer. He's going to catch a ton of passes this year. Yeah.
He's going to catch 100 passes this year.
I think he'll be in that neighborhood. Yeah. Yep.
Okay, we're up again here now in round three. This is pick 3-6.
I think Jones should go in the first round.
So we've got two running backs.
Yep.
So we got to start thinking quarterbacks or tight ends here heavily.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen available. Kyle Pitts available.
Pitts is my one tight end.
T. Higgins, A.J. Brown.
Okay.
This is some good options there. You got Pitts as your number one tight end.
Everyone in the world has Kelce number one, and usually Andrews too. And I respect those guys. I just think Pitts is a total ultra freak that his situation doesn't bother me. I think they'll throw a lot. And I think there's a really good chance he's going to be the first tight end drafted next year, and everyone will just realize how good he is. I mean, the big knock on him is he only scored one touchdown last year.
Right.
That's not going to keep up. I mean, that's just a fluky thing.
That is a fluky thing. All right, we'll take Kyle Pitts here. I got no problem with that.
I don't think
we still don't have a wide receiver. That's the problem.
I know. But I don't think you get Kittle or Waller in the turn.
Yeah, Waller didn't last us. He went just ahead of our picks.
I mean, there's five tight ends that you get an advantage
We get some decent picks here for wide receivers.
I bet there's a lot of receivers to pick from.
Terry McLaurin.
Oh.
Mike Williams, Brandon Cooks, Cortland Sutton still available.
I think McLaurin is my seventh or eighth wide receiver.
Allen Robinson, Marquise Brown, Amari Cooper.
See, I like a lot of those names. I would love to go McLaurin here and then hope DK Metcalf's on a turn. Or, you know, there's enough receivers there. I think you could probably end up with two of them.
Yeah.
McLaurin's my favorite.
We have to, and then the way we've drafted this, that has to be. So McLaurin's the pick.
Yeah. That's an easy one for me,
and
too.
There's another run
I haven't
on,
struggled with any of these picks yet.
Another run on receivers, okay. So now we're looking at, in round five, Allen Robinson.
I think he bounces back big this
year. Amari Cooper.
No.
Darnell Mooney.
No.
Jerry Jeudy.
Who was the first name again?
Allen Robinson.
I think he's way better than this group.
Rashad Bateman.
I'm a Bateman fan, and more so than Jeudy or some of those other names you listed. But
Chris
Godwin. Wish I knew that he was playing.
We're getting
week
some
one,
good news at
it.
So.
It has
him.
Been very promising.
How about Michael Thomas?
Same with him.
Yeah.
I mean, right now I think is the cheapest Godwin or Thomas will ever be, unless we get some catastrophic news.
Yeah.
But it sounds like they started really low on these lists, and everyone just keeps bumping them and bumping them. I like Allen Robinson the best,
right.
But if you want Godwin or Thomas, I would.
We'll take Robinson and see if we can squeeze one of those guys into that next round.
We might.
If
I
that
think
happens,
rebounds
yeah.
big.
If that happens, we're in great shape. So.
I'd also consider a third back.
I'd look at a third back here. Let's see what they suggest for the all. Our third backs are.
It gets nasty this year.
It gets so right now it's.
I'm sure like A.J. Dillon's gone.
No, he's still there.
Okay, considering Jones.
Yeah,
you can play both of those guys.
Yeah,
right.
It's not going to hurt you if you play both of those guys.
And if one gets hurt, then you're actually
happy. Great shape.
Right.
Josh Jacobs available. Elijah Mitchell, A.J. Dillon, Chase Edmonds at the back. Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
All are fine.
Kareem
threes.
Hunt. Dillon stands out.
Dillon's intriguing, especially with what we have.
I think we do that now, pull the trigger on that, and see what we get here at the wide receiver position in the next.
I'm fine with that. I've chatted with some Packers guys, and they think there's going to be a high percentage of Dillon and Jones on the
field
together.
Absolutely.
Right? Which doesn't happen as much as people think.
Okay, so here we're back at the wide receiver position here. Take a look at that again. You notice we still haven't drafted a quarterback, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah Moore, Drake London. Devontae Smith, Tyler Lockett. Do we want to double down on that?
I like all
Atlanta
these guys. Thousand?
Brandon Ayuk.
Ooh, I think Ayuk's going to have a big
Tyler
year.
Lockett. Christian Kirk.
He's their number one.
I like Christian Kirk. Though.
I do, too.
I think that's the pick.
You want to see if there's a quarterback worth jumping out at?
All right, let's take a
I'm
look
a wait,
at it.
Wait for quarterback guy.
Russell Wilson, Trey Lance, Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford.
we'll fight on this one, but Lance is my favorite of the quarterbacks.
I understand.
But
I'm
cool with Kirk.
I think, you know,
Kirk is your third receiver. I mean, they gave him like $24 million a year, and he's good.
Yeah.
You know, like,
he's
their number one.
They didn't do that to not play him or not get him
right.
to football.
I mean, we're not talking about if the contract was a good one or not.
Right.
That doesn't really matter.
Yeah, let's take Christian Kirk there.
I'm absolutely fine with that.
All right, we're cruising along here. Now, the question becomes, do we want to take another receiver there, or do we want to wait and take a quarterback here?
I'm more best available.
Yeah, as am I.
I wouldn't pigeonhole it.
I would look here, too, at what's available at running back. You can never, mm-hmm. you never have enough.
Tight end's the only thing I think that's off the board for us
yeah.
right now.
Kareem Hunt, the top guys available. Their top suggestions. Kareem Hunt, Trey Lance, Ayuk, Kadarius Toney, Aaron Rodgers. Give me Tony Pollard.
I really like Toney and Ayuk.
Chase Claypool.
I think Toney might be the Giants' one. He's risky, but I'm an Ayuk believer. I'm a Lance believer. Those would be my three suggestions. Lance, Kadarius Toney, Ayuk. Pollard's
I don't
bad
trust
either.
Kadarius Toney to stay healthy.
Oh, no. There's no trust at all. Right. I think he's the least trustworthy guy in the league almost.
We'll
I
mean, take a shot in Trey Lance. You're,
okay.
That's your guy.
That's
you
my guy. Yep.
Eighth round. That's fine.
Starting quarterback.
That's
run a lot.
All right. We're back up again. The top suggestion is Tony Pollard, Garrett Wilson, Jacoby Myers.
Pollard's interesting because I think him and Dylan are both very flex-worthy, even if nothing bad happens around them.
The wide receiver position, guys still available. Wilson, Olave, Myers, Tyler Boyd.
I have a hard time starting any of them.
Sky Moore.
He at least has more upside than those guys.
Yeah. Devontae Parker, no thank you.
Nah.
Jarvis Landry.
He's okay.
He's ordinary, his grits, but
yeah.
All he does is go out and catch a bunch of passes. Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
I would go Moore or Pollard.
Rondell Moore.
Nah. I mean, if we needed a starting week one receiver, I'd consider Rondell Moore with Hopkins out, but we don't.
Michael Gallup?
He's out a long time.
Yeah, he's
it's
out for
November.
A while.
Yeah, I don't think he's draftable this
I
year.
Kind of like Sky Moore there.
I'm fine. Yeah, I think there's a chance he is very good.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
He's a name that didn't pop up in the offensive rookie of the year.
Yeah, you know, well, nah, he was in there. He was
later than Pickens?
No,
right
he was ahead
Pickens?
Of. He was ahead of Pickens.
Okay.
He was like sixth or something like that.
He could do well there.
Yeah. All right, let's take a look at the all. Naheem Hines available.
They keep saying he's going to catch a million passes. I don't think he scores once this year, though.
We did take Cook with our first pick. Alexander Mattison available. Do we
it's a nice insurance.
Do we handcuff that? Because we've already got both Packers backs.
Mm-hmm. It's a thought.
Just to throw that out there.
Yeah, I don't hate it.
Let's look at second quarterback since Aaron Rodgers still available. That's a nice.
One super upside. The other guy,
you're going to get. Cousins still available. Derek Carr, Tua is the next guy.
It would have to be Rodgers if you make the.
I think it's just great value there.
Yeah, and
we're in round 10.
I know quarterbacks are hard to trade, but you could probably trade Aaron Rodgers
at
some point.
If Justin Fields falls on his face, or not Justin Fields, Trey Lance is really struggling. All right, I can start Aaron Rodgers.
I'm pretty certain that we'll have quality quarterback production.
Yes,
between those two.
Yes,
and you'll take that for two late picks.
Let's go ahead and take
Rodgers. Yeah,
Rodgers. We're set there in the quarterback. We don't even have to look at quarterback anymore.
Right. I don't know that I'm doing the same with tight end, though. You know, I don't want Irv Smith here or Gesicki. Just to take one.
The top players available for us right now, J.D. McKissic.
Okay.
Kenneth Gainwell.
He's sneaky to me. I think he's a better player than a McKissic or a Hines. I think he'll get carries there.
Yeah.
And he's had some time with the ones from what I've read.
Jarvis Landry.
It's not bad.
Devontae Parker.
Yeah.
Freiermuth.
He's better than what I just threw out there as the second tight end. But
yeah.
I don't know. We need to be doubling up on tight ends and quarterbacks.
Jamal Williams, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Raheem Mostert.
I don't think he plays much for them. I mean, this is a lean area of the draft.
Yeah, this is where it kind of starts to fall off. Let's take Gainwell.
I like Gainwell.
Yeah.
That'd have been my vote, too.
Yeah.
And if he misses, I mean, we're not invested heavily in him.
Yeah.
But that's a good offense. It runs the ball a lot.
All right, we're down to round 12 here now. The top suggestion for us is Rondell Moore.
That's not awful at this stage.
Jamal Williams.
Coaches love him.
They do.
I mean, they've
signed backs, and they've got a bunch of them.
They do. I mean, Swift is a first-round type guy.
Yeah.
I mean,
Devontae Parker. Or, I'm sorry, Jahan Dotson, I should say.
Hmm.
I don't hate that. Then we got two rookie wide receivers. That's not good.
Who was the first receiver you mentioned?
Rondale Moore.
I think I'd take Moore over Dotson.
Let's see who else is there. Julio Jones, no thank you. Nah. Robbie Anderson, no thank you. Corey Davis. People kind of forget about him.
I know. He's not terrible.
They gave him money.
Right.
Nico,
I'm sure he'll start on this.
Collins.
I don't mind that. I mean, he's a true number two.
Let's take Nico Collins.
Yeah, I'm fine
with that.
They're
going to be behind a lot.
Yeah, he's very talented.
You're going to be throwing the ball. That's kind of a high upside.
I think a month from now, he'll go two rounds higher than this.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Now, we might be pretty set now at the wide receiver position.
Mm-hmm.
Running back, we're pretty solid.
I mean, I'd take a shot on a tight end, especially if Freiermuth's there.
Let's see what's available. Noah Fant.
Not bad.
Albert O.
I'd probably go Albert O over Fant.
Gerald Everett. Tyler Higbee. Robert Tonyan. No thank you. Evan Engram.
I've heard good things. I don't know if I trust him.
Yeah, Austin Hooper.
I think Albert O is my favorite of that group.
Yeah, I mean, again, take the upside guy.
Mm-hmm.
And
good quarterback.
Yeah, you know that they'll throw to the tight end a little bit there.
I would think.
Russell Wilson does do that.
Tim Patrick injury helps him a lot.
That helps him a lot, yeah.
A lot. Big body didn't, maybe two more touchdowns or, you know.
We're into round 14 here, Matt.
How many we do? 15?
I believe we go 15 rounds. So we got to take
a defense
and kicker to finish off our mock draft here.
I have not given the defense as much thought at all. So
we want to take a defense first or a kicker first? Well, let's look and see if it's available.
Doesn't matter.
Patriots defense, the Saints defense.
Ooh, Saints D's good.
Chargers, Packers.
Packers.
Packers
defense. I think the Packers will be my number one.
Yeah, Packers defense. That's
loaded.
That's a slam dunk.
Yeah, that's an easy one. What the consensus number one defense is.
Yeah.
It's not the Packers.
I don't know. That leaves us with just a kicker to take. Ryan Succop, Nick Folk, Matt Prater, Rodrigo Blankenship, Brandon McManus.
Boz?
Let me see here if Boswell is available. Where do you search?
Be a good omen for the rest of our fantasy.
Absolutely. We did that last year every time. Just take Boswell.
Yeah.
Young Hoku's available. They won't score.
That's actually pretty good. They don't score any points.
They don't score any points. But
he does.
Yeah, he does.
They're dumb.
Jason Sanders, Robbie Gould.
If it's not Boz, I'm ducking out and deferring to you on this one.
I don't see Boswell here, so.
I would imagine he's one of the first guys taken.
Jake Elliott. I don't see him available here. I want somebody, if I'm taking a kicker who has a late bye.
Late bye week, yeah.
So Young Hoku's bye is in week 14.
He produces, yeah.
That's like right before the playoffs.
I mean, he's one of the better kickers in the league.
He's one of the guys. There are three guys ahead of
Boswell
on the all-time make list, and Young Hoku is one of them.
Yeah, he's a great player. I mean, I know that.
And he kicks indoors for half of his games, actually more than half because he plays. So they gave us a grade of 80 out of 100 on that, a B-minus according to the experts. Trey Lance at quarterback, Dalvin Cook and Aaron Jones at running back, Terry McLaurin, Allen Robinson at wide receiver, Kyle Pitts at tight end. Our flex right now would be A.J. Dillon. We got the Packers defense. We got Young Hoku. We're very invested in the Packers. That's not a bad
team. No, that's not a bad team to be in.
And then on the bench, we got Christian Kirk, Sky Moore, Aaron Rodgers, Kenneth Gainwell, Nico Collins, and Albert O from the Denver Broncos.
I know we're up against it. Quick question for you. Week one, we're setting our roster. Who's your flex, Dillon or Kirk?
I might go with Kirk, but Dillon's interesting.
Either one's
fine by me.
Right.
Yeah.
I might want to see a game or two of how the Packers play.
But if he gets 15 carries, he's worthy of the flex.
I bet he scores 8 to 12 touchdowns this year.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't dislike that pick at all.
That was our first mock draft of the year. We hadn't really done that. I'd take that team.
Oh, I'd take that team.
Absolutely. Yeah. But you know what, Matt? That is going to do it for our show today.
Wednesday's in the books.
Wednesday is in the books. Of course, you can listen to all of our shows here on ESPN 970 and Steelers Nation Radio live from Steelers training camp. We get you covered wall to wall. Other than, of course, you got the Stan Saverin show from 12 to 2 every day. But early in the morning, you get Tom Opferman and Bob Labriola from 9 to 10, followed up by Max Starks and Craig Wolfley in the locker room. And then you get myself and Matt Williamson here from 2 to 5 every day. But we thank you for listening to this show. It looks like the skies are opening up a little bit. A little bit of sun shining here now.
Yeah, nice day.
At St. Vincent College. Hopefully that carries through till tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. He's Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. We thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep.
You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.